Friends, this is the Helping Friendly Podcast. We're going to do a quick hit for night two at Dick's 2017. So we'll review September 2nd, 2017. I'm Brad, and we're here with a longtime wonderful friend of the podcast and us personally as well, is Brian. Hey, Brian, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Brad. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. How's the family?
Family's good.
Good.
We're out here in Denver on vacation. Everything's good right now.
A vacation that includes some shows at Dick's is my kind of vacation, so hope you guys are enjoying it.
Any way we can sneak the kid out for fish plus some mountains is a good thing.
Yeah, awesome, man, awesome. So you've been to the first two shows, right?
Yeah, we did. We're doing the whole weekend, so we did Friday and then last night as well.
Cool. And then tonight, the third show is a free webcast for all of us not in Denver, so that's pretty exciting for us.
That's pretty sweet of them.
Yeah, and I'm sure that, you know, I don't think it impacts them much, but they know, right? I mean, they know that there'll probably be a few more tuner-inners since it's free.
That and, like, last sort of show this summer, I think it'll be good for them going into it.
Nice, nice. So give us kind of your, you know, I hate to say it, but 20,000-foot view of the first two nights.
Yeah, totally. I mean, overall, I've really enjoyed myself this weekend. Friday night, I thought, was a really spectacular show. This is my second time at Dick's. I came here in 2012. It was actually my honeymoon. We just got not a bad weekend. One of the best weekends of fish I've ever seen. So I've always been thinking about coming back to Dick's, and I've tried to come back here and things didn't work out, so it was great to make it happen this year. I love it out here. I love being in Colorado, being in Denver really adds a lot to a fish weekend. And, you know, the band just has it locked down at Dick's. It's such a welcoming venue. It's so easy to get around. The parking lot's a lot of fun. The security, the people that work at the venue are really, really sweet, very hospitable. The sight lines, the sound, everything's great. So, you know, from afar, it's really an ideal place to see fish for a couple of nights. Very different in a lot of ways to MSG. It almost feels like you're at a festival, when you're on site, but you've got the amenities of the city if you need them.
That's a good point. We talked about it yesterday too, but the band sound just amazing anywhere. I think particularly, in the stands head on the, you know, the opposite side of the soccer field, like the end lines, for whatever reason, it just sounds so wonderful there. They do have it locked in. And so give us a little details about the lot. You know, we heard yesterday it was really crowded. Obviously all three nights are sold out. How was your experience compared to 2012 as far as number of people and crowdedness?
I definitely thought, I mean, in the stadium, I thought Friday night was a little bit more crowded than it was on Friday and Sunday in 2012. I expected Saturday to be pretty packed in, so we went in a little bit earlier last night than we had on Friday, and got some pretty great seats. I agree with you. We were side stage page in 2012, a little bit closer, and the sound kind of bounced a little bit, but we moved back, and we were page side, down low, right behind the second speaker. And I mean, it sounded like I was wearing headphones. It was super loud. It was fantastic. And we had great people around us. We ended up getting a good amount of space for ourselves, which was really nice. In terms of the lot, the shakedown that they have set up it was nice to see like a full shakedown. I haven't seen that in probably 2 years.
Especially with MSG
shows.
Yeah.
It was nice to like get a throwback and, there'd be like three full rows of vendors and multiple food options. And, you know, just some really nice people to talk to. So we wandered through there, played some frisbee in the soccer field. That's a really nice thing to have that, to just kind of run around in before and after the show. Yeah, I mean, I love it. I found the lots to be, you know, not super packed. Everything's kind of congregated around Shakedown. I was in lot G on Friday night, and that was a pretty good scene. There was a El Camino that had turned itself into a ball pit, and people were handing out Jello shots there. So I think they were having a pretty good time. They kept playing Michael Jackson, so it sounded like a party over there. But yeah, it was fun. It's always fun going in.
That's great to hear. It's such an open space too. You know, you think of the mountains, yeah. But the mountains are kind of off to the west.
Right,
it's kind of
right.
Flat and open, and you could find different areas to have fun, you know, and you'll find something to do no matter what. I remember the first time I rolled in solo, I think it was 13.
Okay.
I rolled in solo to like a back lot, and it was like empty. And I was like, what is going on around here, you know? And then I came to the other side of the stadium, and I was, here we go, you know what I mean? So I'm wondering if those kind of back areas are kind of filling up now that it's been sold out in advance, and it's, you know, it's a destination for fans, even kind of casual fans are hearing about it and having fun. So it's great stuff. So before we dive into the show, let's just do it. Let's dive into the show.
Yeah, totally.
Tell us a little bit about the first set for you, where you were last night. You know, the opener, the simple, and into the Martian Monster.
Totally. So yeah, like I said, we walked in a little bit early than we did on Friday. We wanted to get similar seats to what we had on Friday. I was super pleased. The band was playing the War on Drugs new record, A Deeper Understanding, in full, which is amazing to hear in the stadium before the show.
Oh, wow.
Definitely made a good mood. I love it when they do that. But then, yeah, they came out.
Hold on, man. You sound better right now. Start over again with the War on Drugs stuff.
Oh, sorry. Was I breaking up there?
Yeah, just kind of. It's not breaking up. It's just like the volume's going up and down. So.
Oh, okay. I won't move around.
Yeah, there we go. All right, you're perfect right now. Go ahead.
Cool. So, yeah, like I said, we walked in a little bit earlier than we did on Friday night. Wanted to get a pretty good spot, similar to where we were on Friday. And I was super pleased to walk in. They were playing the opening track off the War on Drugs new record, A Deeper Understanding, and played the record in full. So that was great kind of experience pre-show. But they came on around 8:06, 8:07, something like that, similar to Friday. And I was expecting, you know, a really classic Saturday night rock show. And they opened up with like a 14-15 minute version of Simple that went into a pretty nice type 2 jam. I was really enjoying it. I was we brought my best man from my wedding to the show.
Awesome.
He's seen Fish maybe like 20 times, and Simple's always one of his favorite songs, and we always have this long running right yeah. We always have this long running joke. We would always ask each other what they're going to open up with. And he would always say Simple. And I was like, they're never going to open up with Simple. That's just not what they do. And then I saw it twice in a row, summer 2015. And then they opened up with it last year. So really fun moment with our little crew. Awesome jam. And then I loved the entire first set. I thought it was incredibly strong.
Yeah.
Right during set break. I mean, I was, you know, feeling very good about where things were at that point in time. I mean, Martian Monster was strong. That's always a song that sounds really good in the stadium. Reba, first time at Dick's, really great peak. It felt like Fishman was allowing Trey to just keep going and keep going with it before, you know, shutting everything down. And place was absolutely insane during Reba. Sand was excellent. Very, very good time to play that. I really liked Crazy Sometimes. I liked that when it was debuted this summer and was happy to hear it. And then what else did they do? Limb by Limb was really nice. It's always a nice little break. And then Wolfman and Walls of the Cave to close it. I mean, Wolfman went to a really, really good jam.
Yeah.
I figured that was going to end the set, and then to play Walls after that was just kind of icing on the cake after
that. I agree with that. So You know, a few of my takes, even though no one's probably interested, is from the first set. The Revo was really well played for
Right.
something that they kind of have maybe could have tripped up on, you know, in these the 3.0, but it was really well played, I
Yeah.
thought. And they smoothly went through it. Sand had an extra minute or so on it. And it's funny that it's a kind of a middle first set song nowadays. I've talked about it before, but I'll take it. It's a great dance time. Limb by Limb, I thought,
Totally.
was brought some heat, 8 minutes or so. So it's nothing crazy, but wonderful. One of my favorite songs. And I think the Wolfman's kind of got taken for a walk too. You know, if anything, that's kind of a set opener, whether first or second. So to close right the first set with the Wolfman's Into the Walls, I thought it was a really well played
I thought it was
first
great
set.
energy. I think the only thing you could say in any sort of critical sense of the first set was after Simple, you didn't really see them fully going beyond kind of the
Yeah,
barriers
structure, sure.
of the songs.
Right.
You know, which you got a lot on Friday night in the first set, which
Yeah, and
really
with
made that Friday night set.
anyway, I don't think we gave enough credit in yesterday's Quick Hit to the opener, the Blaze On opener, because it was a good 15 minutes, and this Simple's 14
Totally.
minutes, and two
Totally.
really strong just show openers. So it's pretty exciting. But yeah, so kind of a structured, well played first set, but you can't complain about it, especially you know, on a Saturday show like this.
No,
So
no.
let's talk about set two then, and one of my favorite new songs, "Everything's Right." Such a comforting song, maybe. I don't know. You know, it's like a. But to open it up a second set, you kind of hope it would be taken type two. Just kind of, you know, that went into a Fuego that was pretty good. Anyway, talk about set break and then the starting of set two for us.
We tried to start a wave during set break, and we got around the backside of the venue, but then it kind of died off. We had a good run there.
Oh, come on. People got to pay attention, right?
That was I was really hoping like the soccer stadium was going to get it. We got more than I expected. I figured it was just going to die out after two, but anyway, they came on like 10:03, something like that. I'm in full agreement with you. Everything's right. It's a sweet spot for me. Musically, sounds like the Beta Band's "Dry the Rain." I've always loved
Oh,
that.
there you go. Yeah, sweet.
And lyrically, it I don't know. It just kind of speaks to where I'm at in life right now. A lot of crazy things happening in the world, both afar and close at home. And just kind of sitting back and everything's right. Just hold tight. You know, it kind of makes me think of my kid. Kind of makes me think of just. You know, moving through the world just one step at a time. It's got that, you know, bit of fish earnest and cheesiness to it. But I'm a fan of that.
Yeah.
I'm happy with where they're at right now.
One of the things that draws us to them, I
Definitely,
think. Yeah.
yeah, totally. I mean, I'm a pretty earnest and somewhat cheesy guy myself, so I'm okay with
Hey,
it.
let's talk a
not
little bit
ashamed to say
about
that.
you know, you said this reminds you of that Beta Band song. Let's
Yeah.
talk a little bit about you and David's podcast. You guys are you're well established at this point, but Beyond the Pond is kind of that's kind of what you guys do. You take some fish jams or songs and relate them to I don't you know I don't want to say modern music, but give us a rundown of Beyond the Pond, you and David's new podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So, David Goldstein and I record bi-weekly podcasts under the title Beyond the Pond. We post on Twitter at underscore beyond the pond. Keep an eye out for us. So basically the idea, David and I are huge fish fans. We love fish. We've both seen fish. I just celebrated my 60th show. I think he's somewhere in the range of that. He's been seeing them a lot longer than I have. Very fish obsessive, dive deep into set lists, no, you know, dates, jams, all that sort of stuff that everyone
I can attest to
you know
that,
that we're
yes.
associated with them. Yeah, you know, when you get to a point where you call yourself a fish nerd. But beyond that, we're huge music fans of everything from modern indie rock to old folk music to you know hip hop to shoegaze, heavy metal, everything. I mean, I'm very open-minded to the music I listen to. And so we kind of had an idea sometime in the winter to start utilizing fish as a way to both discuss other music and also to, you know, potentially introduce people to music outside of the immediate jam band scene. There's just so much good music that has been created and is being created right now. So what we essentially do, we'll take a really famous fish jam usually. We'll talk about it. We'll break it down in the kind of way that, you know, we would do over beers at, you know, right after a show or something or in the lot. And then we'll pick out a couple themes and we'll discuss anywhere between 3 and 6 artists and specific songs that we think, if you like this jam, this is another type of music that you might, you know, be interested in. So we'll give a little bit of a backstory to the band, to the album. And on top of that, we feature 2 new albums that have come out typically within a 6-week range of us recording that we think people should be listening to. So for example, we've covered the Camden Chalk Dust. We've covered the Hampton Bag from 1997, the Riverport Gin, the Fukuoka Twist. And then we've done some 3.0 jams. We did the Reading Down with Disease. And then we started this summer. We wanted to cover summer tour in our own unique way. Obviously, HF Pod does a really good job of breaking it down show to show. But what we did was we picked out a jam throughout the summer tour and would basically do our episode off of that. So we did the Chicago Simple and talked a lot about riff heavy guitar music. You know, there was such a great riff at 13 minutes in that jam. And so we talked about like Rush and Yes and a band called Cite from San Francisco.
Nice.
And then we did our Baker's Dozen episode. We covered the Tube and the song I Heard the Ocean Sing, and really did a cool deep dive into Madchester music and into ambient music. And we have an episode coming out actually right after Dix ends. But look, about a week or so after that, we're going to do a full deep dive on a Dix jam to be named. We have not determined what it is yet, but some really great, you know, especially on Friday night and with the Simple on Saturday, some really great music to dive into.
Nice. It's exciting, and it's a really great podcast because I'm always looking for new stuff to listen to. So you guys always have great suggestions.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to hear that, man.
Yeah. Yep. Fun times. So, all right, let's get back to the second set. Kind of pick some highlights. You know, it looks wonderful on paper, right? Especially with an ending Mike's groove. But the first half is really, really solid too. The Fuego and the Steam, kind of a standard Chalk Dust. But give us your thoughts on the second set.
Totally. So yeah, it's interesting. Like you said, it looks amazing on paper. I said something after Friday's show that I would never really pick that set list out of a hat and want to go to it. But it turned out to be one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Nice, yeah.
It's funny how fish is like that. Last night's second set on paper, loads and loads of heavy hitters. Great, great song selections. Probably not my favorite set I've ever seen. I am, you know, I'll fully admit it, I go to Fish mainly because I love hearing them jam and I love hearing them experiment. And there was really none of that in the second set last night outside of a bit from Everything's Right and a bit from Fuego and Winter Queen. That said, you know, if you're going to put a Saturday rock and roll show together, if you're going to do a little bit of like a recital show, like these are our big songs, they pick some great tunes to cover.
Nice.
I thought that Chalk Dust, you know, I expected it to go deep. It's Dix, it's Chalk Dust, it always jams at Dix, but you know, the fact that they didn't take it into a long jam vehicle, I think that they played it very, very tight, and it was kind of cool to have it in that mid set 2 slot as just an energy burst. It's something we haven't really seen from Chalk Dust in the last couple of years. I thought Winter Queen was beautiful. I really liked the ending of that.
Right, love it.
I thought that was well placed as a come down, and I did not expect What's the Use at that time.
It's a great combo, the Queen into What's the Use.
It really is.
Yeah, the takedown. Yeah.
And you were at Magna Ball. I think that we took in a little bit of Magna Ball together. There was a point during Magna Ball where that What's the Use almost just like fell away to silence. And it was so cool being in a field with, you know, 30,000 people, however many were at Magna Ball, and just have this like sound just kind of like wafting over the crowd. And you really got that sense last night. I
Those
loved
are the best
it.
kinds, yeah, absolutely.
And Slave, I'm never going to complain about Slave. Slave Closure was great, and then a pretty classic encore, Lizards and Antelope.
20 plus minutes. Solid long encore.
Yeah, very solid. 20-ish minute encore. I saw Secret Cab Driver tweeted out it was the first time Lizards had faded into Antelope since, I think, like sometime in 1995, he had said, sometime early 95 or mid-fall or something like that. But really cool, just like two absolutely classic Fish songs that were probably like the first 20 Fish songs every person in the venue had ever heard. To have those paired back-to-back was very classic.
Nice. Yeah, such a solid, like you said, like we talked about, I guess, the set looks wonderful on paper, but it's no, you know, 4.5 song set to like it was the night before. But it's Saturday night, you know, you've got people with only 20 Fish songs under the belt. So, you know, it's a nod to keeping everybody happy and giving them what they came for. But it's funny to me that kind of that Winter Queen, What's the Use is such a wonderful newish thing in 3.0 that, we get to experience, but to sandwich to be the meat of the Mike's Groove is, man, what a wonderful little treat at the back end of that set. So what do you think your highlights were, you know, either set?
First set, I would definitely say Simple. I just felt complete, you know, bliss at that point, and kind of expected we were getting a bit more Friday, you know, throughout the whole show, and I was just like, wow, this is on a completely different level than what I expected going into the whole run. So that was definitely my highlight from the first set. Second set, I would say the Winter Queen, What's the Use, was a really nice contemplative step back. You know, you think about the meat of a Mike's Groove, the traditional Mike's Groove is Hydrogen, which is a very blissful ambient number. It kind of drifts around in between the rock evilness of Mike's song and the, you know, really spunky kind of dance party of Weekapog. Yeah. And those two songs kind of stretched that concept out over a 15-minute period in time that was really nice.
Perfect, man. That's really wonderful. So you got any big plans for tonight? Any calls? Any expectations?
I mean, Tweezer's sitting on the table. We've had one Tweezer this summer. First night of the Baker's Dozen, I kind of feel like the stereotypical call that's got to be coming. It's got to be a big version.
The place will explode if they open the second set with it.
I think it will. You know, it's an interesting show because, you know, for the first time, well, I guess 2015, there wasn't a fall tour, but, you know, this summer, while there's been so much surrounding the Baker's Dozen, Fish was very clear that this was kind of a break of a summer. It was like a pause in a sense, even though they've played at such a high level, you know, from a touring standpoint, they weren't going to tour in the type of quantity. So,
sure.
You know, there's going to be this big break between tonight and whenever they resume, you know, you got to imagine for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And so I've got to imagine, you know, my thought, and I don't want to have too much expectations going into this. It's always the death knell of being a Fish fan, but you know, at the same time, you asked. you know, I think about that last show in Mexico, this last winter, where nothing had been announced for the summer. There were rumors about the Baker's Dozen, but everyone knew that Fish was going to take a bit of a pause, and they came out and kind of played a show that was almost as like, all right, we're walking up the stage for a long period of time. This is your lasting memory.
Right.
That was a very high energy show with some great Type 2 jamming, excellent set list. I mean, I wonder in some cases if I've ever seen a better set list on paper. You know, I kind of feel like they're playing at a level where they could play a show like that, where you just walk away going, I don't know if I ever need another show again. It was so good. So it's Sunday night, last night of the tour, last night of a very special, albeit, shortened tour. I'm expecting a great show tonight. The last Sunday night show I saw at Dick's, was 9/2/2012, and that's one of my favorite shows,
Oh, what a
especially
wonderful.
one of my
Yeah.
favorite second sets I've ever seen.
So, you know, my only thought on it is yesterday our guest Mike said he saw John Fishman Thursday night, and Fish told him that he had homework to do, cause, and that's why he wasn't going to drink tequila with him. So, you know, the first two nights there's nothing that I think he had to practice too hard for. So,
Right.
maybe it's tonight, man, or maybe our expectations will disappoint us as always. So, either way, you're
I like
have a great
homework.
Time.
I like Fish homework, and yeah, either way, I'm going into this. I don't know the next Fish I'm seeing. I've got an early morning flight out of DIA tomorrow with my wife and a 2-year-old that I know is going to be
right.
A bit more challenging than it needs
ready
to be.
To rare.
So
yeah,
I'm just going
to
like, I'm going to live in the present as much as possible and
right.
Say hi to some good friends and enjoy, enjoy yet another Fish show.
Just hold tight, right?
Just hold tight. Everything's right, man.
Awesome, Brian. Thanks so much. Say hello to Suze and Wally Pipes for us. And we appreciate you taking the time and have a great time tonight.
Right back at you, Brad. Lots of love to your family, and hope to see you at a show here again
yeah,
soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, man.
Thank you.